Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 94, and I am Libya, your host. And this week, we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from Glendale.
And I'm Allison from Tarzana.
And this week in the news, what we have is I want to let everybody know about some returning pilots. Some brand new mid-season shows, basically. The first up is NBC is doing a show called The Firm, which is based on the movie, which is based on the book, or I don't know if they skipped the movie, but Lawyer, if you've seen the movie or read the book, apparently they're going to try to make a series of it, and it premieres on January 8th. The one I'm really excited about is House of Lies, which is on Showtime, premieres January 8th, and that one stars Kristen Bell and
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. I was like totally blank on his name for some reason. I love Don Cheadle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that looks really good. So I'm totally going to check that out.
Yeah, the commercials they've been showing for it look fantastic.
Right. And then Are You There, Chelsea on NBC. Starts January 11th, which is a comedy, which I'm probably not even going to watch.
I think alleged comedy is better.
Alleged comedy?
It's paired with Whitney. I've heard it's funnier than Whitney, which is like saying, I'd rather drink pee than eat poop.
All right. The next one is Finder, which is supposedly a spinoff of Bones, but not really. I mean, I think they're going to try to cross over a couple of characters. And they did that.
They did the backdoor pilot on Bones.
Yeah, they did it on Bones. And the episode was okay, but, like, I don't need...
This is the... She needs some time off because she's had a baby.
Right. I get that, but, man, give me a good show, please. Anyway. So... Only thing is it has Michael Duncan Clark, and I like him. The lead guy is not atrocious, but...
Jeffrey Stoltz?
I'm not sure if I need the show. It doesn't feel like...
It's a placeholder. It's like a seat filler at the Oscars.
Exactly. Next is, that I am excited about, is Alcatraz on Fox, premieres January 16th. And I've seen the pilot, and it's pretty good,
it's
a weird thing. It's kind of like... I feel like because I watch Fringe,
mm-hmm.
I don't need to watch Alcatraz because it has a leading woman who's blonde and it's got the team. And it's just like, it's very, very similar to Fringe.
It's fringy.
I was kind of like, well, I already watched Fringe, so do I need to watch this? But the premise is kind of interesting, but I'm not sure how the team investigative thing is going to be any different than any other show. It hasn't exactly set itself, but I'm going to give it a shot. Like, I saw the pilot. It wasn't bad.
Interesting enough to tune in.
Yeah. I'll give it a couple episodes. The next up is Luck on HBO. Starts January 29th.
And I have seen the pilot for that.
Well, is it good?
It is not.
Oh.
I didn't care.
Let me put it this way. If you are obsessed with horse racing and you already know the lingo and you love that kind of thing, you may love this kind of thing. If you're not, then this is going to be a really long hour of TV.
Well, it's weird because it's got Dustin Hoffman. I like him.
I know, and I love him. And the entire cast is really A-list. It's fantastic. Nick Nolte is in it. And the subsequent weeks are going to introduce even more fantastic actors. But it's really just... I have never spent an hour of TV that was just so cloyingly torturous to sit through.
No,
it was just long and boring, and the characters are agonizingly dull and hateful, and especially there's a subset of characters who are just like hangers-on around the track, and they are just the worst to have to sit through. Their scenes are agony, and people can tune in and watch for themselves, but really it was horrible for me to sit through.
Well,
that was terrible for me to say because I love Dustin Hoffman, and I was really expecting something big from it.
I didn't dislike it as much as Allison. I want to watch it again.
How did you guys all see the pilot?
HBO did a special sneak preview of it one time only after the Boardwalk Empire finale. Which was actually, well, I don't know if it was smart or not smart. I want to watch it again, but it just didn't grab me. I mean, that's the thing. Is a
pilot
needs to grab you.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, eh.
All right. On to the news. Sean Ryan got greenlit called The Last Resort. It's supposed to be a futuristic sci-fi show where nuclear submarine gets orders to launch nuclear missiles, and they refuse those orders. And they know that then they're going to be put up on charges for treason or whatever, so they take refuge in, like, Switzerland or somewhere, and at the port declare themselves an independent country.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm not sure how that plays out episode to episode, but the premise sounds... I mean, that sounds like a movie. I feel like, you know, like, I'll totally watch the pilot. I like Sean Ryan.
But I like Sean Ryan.
Yeah,
like I was saying before, I really miss the Chicago Code.
Oh, yeah.
And The Shield, boy, that show over the 7 seasons and the finale, the 2-part finale, wow.
So. I think we disagree on the finale.
You didn't like the finale?
Well, different conversation. Let's not go there.
We'll talk, yeah.
Okay, well, you had some news.
I had a couple of news. The great news from NBC is they are going to schedule the last 12 episodes for this season of Community. Sometime. Yeah. They haven't committed yet. Good old NBC. But they also said at the Television Critics Press Tour, they are saying how badly in the toilet they are ratings-wise.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Ridiculous. They're starting to get beat by Univision now.
Univision?
No, seriously. If you look at Variety's reports...
Wow.
If you look at Variety's daily reports for the top 10 shows by demographics, they are starting to get beaten by Univision.
I personally think they don't give their shows enough of a chance. I know that when I watch an NBC channel that my show is probably going to get canceled within 3 to 5 episodes. So why should I watch it? Personally, that's kind of what I think. But
yeah, there's no desire to invest.
Right.
Other news, ABC's first drama pilot order is coming from film director Roland Emmerich. He co-wrote the script and he's also going to be directing it. Untitled, of course, because they love these untitled pilots. It's set in New York City against the backdrop of the 2012 presidential race, when a young astrophysics student learns his destiny lies not in science, but somewhere between heaven and hell.
What?
Whatever.
Like, what does that mean?
It's Roland Emmerich.
It's Roland Emmerich. It'll be big, dumb, with lots of effects.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Lots of big explosions and buildings falling and...
dogs and cats tidal sleeping waves. Together.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
One thing, we got some feedback from our 2011 Best Of podcast, and I just wanted to talk about some of that feedback real quick. Brian Kersey sent us his list of best picks, and I have to say, some of them are similar to ours, and some of them are totally different, which I think is really interesting.
Sure.
In his top new shows, he put Once Upon a Time, which I think a couple people picked. He said, great show, love the premise, I can't wait to see where it goes.
Highest rated new drama.
Yeah, and he put Breaking In, which I thought was surprising. Like, I watched Breaking In and I liked it, but it wouldn't have made my top.
It's coming back.
Oh, yeah, I heard. He said, oh, it is coming back?
Yeah.
I thought
they canceled it, and then they gave it a second season pickup.
Oh, and he just said that. I know it's canceled, but then Fox gave it a second season, so I'm including it. All right. Excuse me. And then he put Young Justice, which I actually love Justice League, but I've never watched Young Justice.
It's really interesting because after they did Teen Titans, which had a very anime and skewed really young, and Young Justice is... it's kind of like, it's using the teen heroes as kind of the Mission Impossible force for the Justice League. Oh, so okay. It's really dark, but it's really good. It's pretty dark. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's an episode where basically everybody's dying, and it turns out it's a simulation that Batman ran for the young heroes. But it's pretty stinking dark. No,
well,
it's
Batman
good.
Could be evil that way. I like that about him. he said it has a great story, good action, good comedy. It's animated, but people should give it a try. All right. I have to watch it from the beginning because I don't believe in watching shows in the middle. So I got to find it. For his list of returning shows, he put How I Met Your Mother. The show is actually really funny. This season has managed to pull off good dramatic moments. I gave up on How I Met Your Mother around season 3.
I'm still watching, but it frustrates me. But I will say they killed Marshall's dad last season, and then they did a follow-up episode for the New Year's episode, which I thought was very poignant.
Okay. Castle, which I love. People put Castle, I think, on their list, but I don't remember now. So Castle, he said the show's getting better and better, and I love the interrelationships. And I agree. Once they started fleshing out some of the side characters, the show got really better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think it's a really fun show. I wouldn't call it a best show, but I think it's really watchable and fun.
Yeah. He also, then he put Doctor Who, which I have to agree with since it was on my list. So, he said, this season has solidified Matt Smith as the Doctor, and I totally agree with that. Then for for most disappointing, he said, Torchwood. And then he went, wait. And then he said, just kidding. Because I read that at first, I was like, what?
No, not again.
But he went, just kidding. I was like, oh, you listened to the podcast. Nice. His actual choice is, I think, better than all of our choices.
I think better be good.
He put The Killing, which as soon as he said it, I went, oh my God, why did I not think
of
it?
I was reading an article over break and I'm like, oh!
I totally forgot about it.
Well, that thing,
I didn't watch it, but I remember everyone's reaction to that.
Oh my God.
And I remember just people wanting to throw things across the room talking about the ending to that.
I literally wiped the show from my memory. Like, well, I did not remember the show.
I'm done. But the thing that hurt The Killing the most, I would say even beyond the lame season finale, where not only did they not solve the murder, not only did they have all these red herrings that made no sense whatsoever, but then the creator, executive producer had the hubris to compare herself to The Sopranos.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, honey, you're not.
Well, and then the other thing is, she also said that she thought her ending was brilliant and that the fans just didn't get her. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works.
No.
I love that kind of response. Yeah. We're just too brilliant for you to understand.
Exactly. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, you got all that negative response? Like, no, that was earned. But I figured that since he sent in his list, I should give him some airtime.
Yes.
All right.
Shout out to Brian.
Yes. Keep the feedback coming. All right. So let's talk about the shows. And the first up, we're going to talk about, I know we're a bit behind, so we're playing catch up. We're going to talk about the finale of Homeland, which we kind of hinted at in our best of 2011, yes. But we really didn't discuss it, mainly because I hadn't seen it yet. So now that I've seen it, we can fully discuss it. So what'd you guys think?
I liked it quite a bit. I think they put themselves in a box with this, with the early season two pickup. Because it really felt like if this had been a one season show,
that room would have blown up.
However, I thought they did a good job, because just the way that he played that, Damian Lewis played that scene where he presses the button and nothing happens and he starts to freak out.
Right.
And everybody just assumes, oh, he's freaking out because he's in a confined space and he was a POW.
Right.
So I can understand why some people are a little disappointed with it, but I thought they had lemons and they made some primo lemonade.
Yeah. I also was surprised at how far they took, it's Claire Danes' character.
You always forget her name.
I know, I don't remember. But how far, because Brody's easy. Like, anyway, but I was really surprised how far they took her character to the edge. Like, she was not, she went off the edge, you know? So, even the people she trusted no longer trusted her, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. So she's like, she's not a fugitive, but then she does the whole, one thing is there's this moment where they say Brody's motivation and what happened in that blank period was that the terrorist's son died during that period. And I'm like, oh.
Carrie.
Yeah.
Carrie Matheson.
Oh, thank you. And I was like, I was like, when they were sleeping together, he totally yelled out the kid's name.
Yes.
And she'll remember it. Like, I said that like midway through the episode. And so I'm yelling at the television. I was like, remember. And then, of course, she doesn't remember until she's getting put under anesthesia.
And getting ready for electroshock.
Getting her memory wiped. I was like, come on.
I thought that
made me crazy. Because you just know she's going to wake up and she won't recall a thing.
Oh, not at all.
But see, the problem is, even if she had said that before, they wouldn't have believed her.
That's true.
Because she had so compromised herself by all those dumb Well, I wouldn't say dumb. Those crazy things she had done.
You know, she compromised herself by sleeping with him.
Well, by sleeping with him, then stalking him.
Yes. If she hadn't slept with him, people were much more likely to have believed her. But now she just seems like a crazy stalker woman.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when Mandy Patinkin turns on her.
Yeah, he doesn't believe her.
Oh, that was devastating.
That was the final thing. That was the final blow. Really. Yeah.
But now, of course, she's going to be cured next season. And I put that in parentheses.
Is she?
I don't know. I think she'll be cured.
She can't be cured because she's got a condition that, you know, continues through her life. But, I mean, as far as her outward stability is concerned.
Right.
She's going to seem even.
They have to figure out a way to get her back to work.
That's the thing is, she's been...
I don't know how they're going to do that.
She's been disgraced, discredited, and fired.
Right.
The only thing I can think of is if some kind of corroborating evidence comes forward where...
But even then, she's made it very clear, they've made it very clear, that with her condition alone disqualifies her
for top secret information.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. She can't have clearance, that's the agency.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the big roadblock. I have no idea how they're going to deal with that next season.
I'm sure they'll think of something really clever.
I'm sure. All right, so...
Wait. Can we give a shout out to the actress who plays Brody's daughter, Morgan Saylor?
Oh, she was
brilliant.
Oh my gosh! I mean, after putting up with Kim Bauer off and on for 8 years of 24, we have a teen who A, looks like a teen, B, acts like a teen, and C, we still believe the character and we believe the relationship with the dad.
That is funny, considering the fact that we all wanted Kim to be eaten by a cougar. Yes, all right. So, yeah, she wins. We don't want her to be killed in a bloody fashion. All right. So, thumbs up for Homeland. Wrapping that up, let's move on to Dexter. Thoughts?
Must we?
I tell you, I've been reading articles about this, and people were not happy with this season.
I can't imagine why.
The only thing I have to say is now we're talking about shows writing themselves into a corner. They have now written themselves into a corner by having the sister find out about Dexter's secret. However, that would have been cool because I've been waiting for her to find out, so that's great.
Well, you know,
but they had to have her fall in love with her brother first. Are you kidding me?
What is it about incest subplots this year?
I know, really. It's ridiculous. It's like every show has to do it.
It's like the new thing. Yeah.
But why couldn't her brotherly love keep her mouth shut versus actual I want to sleep with you love now has to keep her mouth shut? You know, so I think, because obviously she's not going to turn him in. You know, the show's over. So... he has to figure out a way to convince her, this is the only guy I killed, really, you know? So, like, she literally walks in as he plunges the knife into a guy.
And... it's just because he was so bad. See, you know, the thing is, if they'd done it last year...
Right.
When he was... because I thought that they were actually going to have her catch him last year.
Yeah, she almost did. She literally almost caught him last year. Like,
right, when he was killing with his girlfriend.
Right.
I would have been okay with that. And because she had reached the point where she was thinking of these as justifiable killings. So I could see her letting it go. Because in a sense, she did let them go.
Right.
Without knowing who it was. So I could have gotten her realizing it was him then. But this time, I don't know how she's going to justify it other than this whole ridiculous cockamamie incest thing, which is just gross and disgusting.
Well, what makes it worse is they're having dream sequences of them, like, touching and making out. And I'm just like, oh, please stop. Ew. Make it stop.
Don't do that. Stop going there.
I know. So... if they hadn't introduced the incest aspect of the show, I would have been much happier with this season. I like the introduction of the new cop. He's much better than the idiot cop from... well, I feel like they need to fire the one that was sleeping with Deb before, the one that's being drunk and degenerate. Like he's not good backup or anything. Like, he needs to go away.
You know, see, the thing is, they've totally... written his character into this cartoon of what he used to be.
Well, and I never that's liked why him in the first I place.
I mean, there's so many things that I don't like. It's not just the ending. there's a lot of things that I ended up not liking about this season. It started strong, but then it just kind of got worse and worse as the season went along. And I ended up, by the time it got to the end, I was so disgusted on so many levels, not just the incest and her finding out, but just so many different things that I finally just got to the point where I just thought, I'm done with Dexter. And I really don't feel like watching this show anymore.
Well,
I think the writing overall was just incredibly poor this season.
I would agree, except because I know that all the stuff going on in the police station with LaGuardia,
and she was another example. They turned her, you know, right back into this grotesque cartoon.
Right.
After spending seasons making her really complex and really respectable and you know, adding layers to her character, they just went this reductionist route with her. And I was very upset about that. And I'm thinking, what was the purpose in that?
Yeah, if I was the actress, I would be really annoyed by that. But anyway.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Moving on, Dexter was blah. So, how about, let's talk about the Christmas episode of Doctor Who, which was not the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
Yes, there we go. That was actually a really weird episode because I felt like the Doctor was incredibly irresponsible in the episode. I was
With the kids?
Yeah. Like, it was just like, I would not let him near a child after this episode. What the heck? It was so bizarre. Because normally, he gets his companions into trouble, but he usually knows trouble is coming, and they're usually semi-adults.
And these were kids.
And these were children. And I was like, really? This is what you're doing? Like,
fortunately, the mother was in tow.
Yeah, and the mom was cool. I liked her. The kid actors were okay, but I actually have to say, of all the Christmas episodes, this is probably my least favorite.
Yeah, it doesn't compare. And
yeah.
For some reason, I never watched last year's Christmas show.
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, well, what happened is I started watching the special, and it's like, I missed this. So I stopped the special when they got to that part. Bought it on iTunes, watched it, and that was fantastic.
Yeah, last year's Christmas was really... I love flying sharks.
The flying sharks was pretty...
Yeah, that was a really good episode.
Last year's was kind of sweet. Although, you know, the thing is, this Christmas special has kind of encapsulated what I know you love Doctor Who this year, but I've found problems with it. And this Christmas special kind of encapsulated what I don't like about what Doctor Who has become, which is precious and twee. And it's everything about it was just really cutesy and really sweet and childlike. And everything that happened wasn't thought through terribly well, and everything was incredibly predictable. And I mean, if I'd stopped watching 5 minutes into the show, I could have written you the rest of the script and told you exactly what happened.
I would agree about this episode. I would not agree about that with the whole season. The season actually has been fantastic and the opposite of everything you just said. But this episode, I would agree, was awful. Like, it was... There was nothing really
special
about it. I don't feel the need to ever rewatch that episode ever again in life. But I have rewatched this season already.
Oh, you have?
Hell yeah! Wow. Love it. I love this season. Anyway, let's move on. I don't feel like spending an hour talking about how much an episode sucked. So let's move on to the
closer.
The closer. Their
winter finale.
Yeah, thank you. I was like, it's not actually their season finale. Yeah, their winter finale is coming back in the summer, but it's not really the end of the season, which is kind of weird. So the closers episode, they actually, I don't even remember what the case was.
Oh, but they solved the lawsuit.
Yeah, I know, but I was like, that's the important part is they solved the lawsuit.
The case was the booger, Curtis Armstrong from Revenge of the Nerds, was the lawyer.
What? I was like, who are you talking? I'm sorry.
The lawyer. He was Booger in Revenge of the Nerds.
Sorry, no, I don't get the reference.
But Booger was an attorney for some of the surviving gang members involved with this class action suit.
Right.
And so he was basically going after Brenda.
Oh, that guy.
And then people were
You know what? I had no idea you were talking about. Let me just say the lawyer, because then I would know. I was like, who the heck is... Never mind. All right.
Anyway, basically...
Oh, and he almost got killed.
And he almost got killed.
Right.
But he was basically... it was interesting. He was saying that I don't know who these people are.
I absolutely did.
And he totally did. And then she correctly surmised that there is somebody pulling the strings.
Right.
And so it was
who's giving orders to kill him.
Who's giving the orders to kill people. And then working with the FBI, they set him up.
That was all pretty good because she called his bluff. Basically, it's like, do you want to solve this case or do you want to get killed? You know, which is more important to you? Or want to live, really. And eventually he buckled under the pressure. And the case, and then the thing that's a trip is he was kind of lying and cheating to mm-hmm. get a case against her and mad about her lying and cheating. I was right. like, really?
Well, here's the thing that I didn't quite understand. When they settle the case, when the department settles the case,
oh, they call it
the Johnson rule. And she gets all offended.
I think sort of justifiably, except yes.
But the problem is she did do what she's
This is true.
I'm sorry. It's like, why are you playing the high moral card when you did exactly what they said, You released people knowingly putting them in danger and in the possibility of them getting killed by their people. It's like, so I just didn't care for her saying, it made it sound like I'd done something wrong. It's like, you did.
Well, in her mind, maybe she didn't.
And I love Mark Pellegrino, who plays the
She attorney. Was totally not grateful.
It's like, is this how she expresses gratitude?
Yeah, because he won the case for her. Like, you should be happy. You're not fired or sued.
But it did give her a nice moment with Mary McDonnell as Raider.
Yeah.
Saying that, what do you want me to do? And she says, offer him protection. If he refuses it, assign it to him anyway.
Like, and she's like, good answer.
Good answer. That's the right answer. Yes. Like, that's the Johnson rule.
That
I still,
was pretty good.
I still am not fond of her Southern accent, but it was a good show.
Yeah, it was a really good finale. And
I want to know, who do you think the mole is?
Commander Taylor.
Do we know that for sure?
No, but that's what my money is on.
Oh, interesting. Which one? Okay, is that the guy who's in charge? Is that the...
You don't know who Commander Taylor is?
I can't. There's so many white guys on that show.
He's the black guy.
The black dude?
Not the young black
guy.
The
older
black
dude. Oh.
That's Commander Taylor.
Oh, interesting. The actor's name is Robert Gossett.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
All right, so good episode for the closer, wrapping that up. And for the first time ever, we're going to talk about Rizzoli and Isles because
I was at home. I was home at my mom's, and I kept remembering Libby saying, people should watch this show. People should watch this show. So I watched the show, and I was pleasantly surprised. I think TNT should be smacked for not marketing it right, because they make it sound like the second coming of Cagney and Lacey, and it's so not.
No, not at all. I like, Rizzoli is very tough as nails, actually very butch.
Angie Harmon, that's their,
And she is really just, she's pretty hardcore, and Isles is the ME, and so she's not a cop at all. So she's the brainiac, excuse me. So her whole thing is, she sees facts, figures, and numbers everywhere, and she has to, and Rizzoli's always telling her, okay, break it down, make it simple. And they have a really good friendship. They've known each other for a really long time. But what's weird to me, because you watch this kind of by itself, and you don't have the back. Well, did you get the backstory about who the guy was, her father? And...
Oh, yeah. Obviously, okay. He's a mobster who's in hiding, but when his daughter's threatened, he comes out of the woodwork.
Well,
to
and they had the finale of last season, I think it was last season. She always knew she was adopted, but she had no idea who her parents were, and then she just found out that it was a mobster, and so that was like a big deal.
Do we know who her real mother is?
No, but he said her name like as he was dying. So, but the thing that actually broke my heart was when Rizzoli kills him.
Rizzoli kills him. Oh.
And the look on Oz's face was
my
like,
gosh.
Don't touch it.
I don't understand why
Rizzoli actually was surprised that she was mad. I was like, you just killed her father. What did you think she was going to do? That's like big divide because their friendship is the crux of the show. So that's kind of...
And Jacqueline Bisset
plays her adoptive mother, right.
It's great to see her in anything.
Yeah, she's pretty good because the whole thing is she went from being, she got adopted by a really rich family. So the mobster guy was really happy about that. I'm sure he had something to do with which family hired, you know, adopted her. But mm-hmm. so that was all pretty good. And so now we have a big divide, and go. Let's see what happens next season. We got to wait till the summer, which is sad. But it's one of my favorite summer shows.
Yeah, it's a good solid show.
Yay! I'm so happy. Now I just have to convince you to watch my other show.
What's that?
The Mentalist. You have to watch it. You can start now. It doesn't matter. It's all very standalone-ish, except for the Red John thing, which is very arc-ish.
I sampled Grey's Anatomy. They had the back-to-back two-parter.
What's that got to do with The Mentalist?
No, but it's on Thursday nights when I was at my mom's, and I was surprised. It's not something I will continue watching, but it seems that their mojo is better than it was when I dropped the show.
I dropped it beginning of season four for me. You're going to high-five me. Everyone, I got a high-five.
After the black dude got kicked off the show, it went down the... It went down the poop chute.
Yeah, it was just like the story ideas went to crap, so whatever. Anyway. All right, let's move on. Next, we're going to talk about Modern Family. Allison, did you see it?
No, didn't.
Oh! You should be watching that show. So this week's episode was called The Lifetime Supply, and it was Phil had a lifetime supply of razors.
Razor blades.
And so his razor blades end... And so he's like, but I'm not dead. He's just like, you've had it for 15 years. He's like, but, and then he gets a note from the doctor, gives him some maybe bad news. I'll call you if I have bad news. And the doctor calls. He can't pick up the phone. And so he thinks that because his lifetime supply of razors have ended and the doctor has bad news that he's going to die. So
Gloria's had a premonition.
Oh, about a mouse.
About a black mouse.
So because of that, he's convinced he's going to die. And then funniness ensues. So that was all pretty good.
Benjamin Bratt came back as Manny's dad.
Oh, right. So it's the competition of the dads, which was, I like that. Though I was actually a little mad at Manny because Jay has really...
taken him under his wing.
Yeah, Jay has really been a very good, especially in the last year or so, has really been father figure. He's taken that job as his father very seriously. So when Benjamin Bratt comes back and Manny just totally like throws Jay under the bus to go run his...
Never underestimate a young boy's desire for approval from his father.
I'm not.
So, I mean...
But it hurt my feelings too.
But the thing was, that's kind of what that plotline was about, that it hurt Jay's feelings.
Right.
And we get to hear from Jay directly about that. So, but Jay needed to realize that that attachment
is always going to be
there.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, obviously this is, I think, Benjamin Bratt's second time in three seasons.
Which isn't
too many.
Yeah, but Benjamin Bratt has very much shown that he is a very fair weather father.
And he's a flake.
So, like, he'll tell him, Manny, he's going to come.
And not come.
And then he won't show up. And he does it all the time. Mm-hmm. So he is not, you know... a good father.
No, by any means. And Gloria knows that. I thought it was interesting. This is the first time I can remember that they end the picture frame on somebody who's not a primary cast member.
Oh, right.
Because they ended it on Benjamin Bratt when they're getting ready to leave.
And then Gloria starts yelling at Jay.
I don't miss that.
And the episode was pretty good. And then the Cameron and Mitchell with the whole trophy thing.
But I like the resolution of that. When Mitchell's venting with Alex.
And he's like,
Alex,
oh my God.
Like, I know. It's like, I just talked with Alex and I realized that I'm...
a 14-year-old girl.
I'm a 14-year-old girl.
That was my favorite line. So, yeah, all that was pretty good. So, thumbs up, Modern Family, another good episode. All right, are you ready? Are you ready for the next show?
Oh, yeah.
The next one up is Vampire Diaries. And this show has been on hiatus for, what, a month and a half or something like that?
It feels longer.
Yes. It's actually so long that I forgot what they had done with Rebecca. They're like, do you have Rebecca?
Oh, Elena staked her in the back.
Well, I forgot the end of the episode. But like through the whole episode when they kept asking like, where's Rebecca? Where's Rebecca? And I was like, I have no idea where Rebecca is.
I was surprised that Klaus kept the dagger in her.
Well, the reason why...
Because he doesn't want her to turn on him.
Right. His whole thing is he loves his sister, but he doesn't want her to try to kill him. So, yeah, he kept the dagger in her because... You know, I actually felt Elena was stupid.
You did?
To tell him that...
Oh, that she was the
that
one?
She, no, to tell him that Rebecca knew. Because that would have been a great surprise.
I think she was doing it to twist...
Oh, yeah, I know twist. She was doing... Why she was doing it. She was doing it to be vindictive and to show, like, na-na-na-na, but that was very childlike.
Elena's still my favorite of all the of the current vampire heroines, so...
Well, yeah, I'm not saying she's dumb as a rule.
Yeah,
I'm just saying...
I didn't mind her, like, suck it.
Yeah, that was... But it would have been...
It wasn't strategically smart.
Thank you. Strategically, that would have forced him to kill his own sister, which would have been awesome.
Allison, did you not see it?
No, I missed it. Sorry.
Oh! Do you watch Vampire Diaries?
I watched what you gave me the DVDs of.
Oh, I gave you season one.
You gave me, right. And then I fell behind and I haven't watched it since.
Oh,
I know, I'm sad. Totally behind.
I thought it was an interesting, I was surprised the body count wasn't as high as I was expecting.
Oh, right. When,
because you think that. You know, he is going to go through hell on earth and just, you know, everybody's...
Just start killing people.
You know, Elena's friends and family.
Well, I mean, he did give it a go. He did try that. But I didn't really think Jeremy was going to die. But then when Alaric gets hit by the car, I was like, granted, it was a supernatural force driving the car, but it was still a car.
I want to know what's wrong with his ring.
Well, I think that's it. Because remember, if you get killed by natural forces, the ring does nothing.
Right.
If you get killed by... something supernatural, the ring brings you back. But I think because he got hit by a car. Yeah, he got hit by a car.
He got jacked up.
Yeah. And so he came back and then he didn't. And then but then, I mean, Alaric hasn't had much to do recently, but I have to say, I was kind of like, well, I guess I can kill him because he doesn't have anything to do. But I was like, but what about the Damon and Alaric Hoye? Come on.
The bromance?
Oh my god, their bromance is part of the show. You can't get rid of Alaric.
I gotta tell you, I bet you there were a lot of happy shippers by the end of the episode.
Oh, right.
With Damon and Elena.
And Elena, yeah, that was nice.
Finally hooking up. Now, here's my question. What's the deal with Stefan?
He's evil.
Is he still evil?
Yes.
Because...
His emotions are still off.
His emotions are still off?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just really interesting. I was surprised that he was willing to confide in Damon his plan. What's interesting about this show is everybody's got these alliances.
Right.
And you don't know who's working with whom to what end.
Exactly.
And basically, the main goal of... There's basically like three sets of people at least out to protect Elena. And
in
the thing
different
is,
ways.
But she's like, A, she doesn't know who's trying to do what.
And she's got her own plans.
And she's got her own plans. And she's like, F you, I'm not depending on you because I don't know if I can trust you.
Exactly.
Because you're freaking evil.
Well, I think she knows she can trust Damon at this point.
No, I think so too. But it's just.
But she did. She decided. She's like, you guys are all keeping secrets. I'm going to do my own thing right now. And so she made a deal and gave Rebecca back, but to save her life and to save Jeremy's life. She's like, no one else was protecting Jeremy.
Yep.
Because as much as Damon cares about her, his priority is her. Damon is extra. Jeremy is extra. So she knows that. So she's like,
and Alaric's protecting Jeremy.
Right.
Literally at his own expense. I'm interested to, and I'm glad that everybody, I'm glad that Jeremy was able to see the truth about Tyler.
Right.
I can't think of his name. Jacob.
Klaus.
That he's Klaus's biznatch.
Yeah, he is. And it was so great. It was like, what if he asked you to do such and such? He's like, he'd never asked me to do it, but I guess I'd just kill myself. And I was like, wow. That was all pretty, like, Tyler, Tyler started off a jerk. Then they made it to where he was sympathetic, and I liked Tyler.
And now I hate him again.
So that's really weird. There was no Caroline this week. Sad.
There was no Caroline this week, but she's going to be, I guess her birthday is coming up soon. And Bonnie's got some big stuff going on. I want to know, A, is Jeremy off the show?
I know. Well, the thing that actually occurred to me is when they tell him he's missing his bracelet. His Ravain bracelet, right? Uh-huh. Now, if you know you've just been mind controlled by a vampire, isn't the first thing you're going to do is go get some vervain?
Mm-hmm.
So I might not have it. When they did it, I was like, I bet you he has vervain. And he just didn't say anything. Because he knows that if he tells them he has vervain, they'll just take it from him and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
If I was him, I'd just pretend that I was mind controlled and then do whatever I want to do. You know what I mean?
But as soon as Klaus called and we don't see... And he calls, we don't see who he's calling, and then Jeremy finishes...
The phone call, you know it's him,
oh,
right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you knew that was bad.
But it'll be interesting to see what Bonnie does when she finds out that Jeremy's gone.
Right.
To see if she's, you know...
But I don't think he's off the show.
I hope not.
All right, next up, let's talk about Secret Circle. They had their premiere after their long break as well.
I tell ya, the show's starting to pick up.
Yes.
As they're... Allison, you don't watch Secret Circle either?
No, never got into it.
Okay.
She's like, she's actually put her microphone down.
I thought...
What? Oh,
I think they have some cojones, because whereas Vampire Diaries took 2.5 years to get Damon and Elena together, Secret Circle is taking a half year to get you to realize you think she's the good witch, she might not be. Because you think, you know, from the different tropes you've seen, when you have the blonde witch is the good witch and the dark-haired witch is the skank witch.
Right.
And they're like, although not that she's necessarily going to be a good witch either, but I just thought it was really interesting. She's got dark magic and she likes it.
But the other thing is, didn't we also find out that the two of them might be sisters?
Well, somebody else in the circle is her sister.
Right, but through their father, which means one of the other ones has dark magic.
Right, but we don't know which one yet.
It's totally Faye.
You think it's Faye?
I'm pretty sure it's
Faye. I don't know. I'm not convinced it's Faye.
Because, okay, we know it can't be the super happy witch. What's her name?
The cheerleader witch? The one who was dating Adam?
Yes. It's not her.
Was it just me, or did she look a little bit hotter this episode?
It might have been just you.
Okay.
It's not her, because we know who her father is. And
we think we know who her father
is. Yeah, that would totally mess up the story if he wasn't her father. And then we don't know the parent. And then the Hispanic girl, like, it's probably not her.
I don't know. I don't trust grandma.
Who's grandma? You have to be more specific.
I don't trust grandma as in, Adam's. Not Adam. Gail Harold's
his mother. What's that got to do with who the father?
Because what if she's the mother and the other dude was, you know, John Blackthorne or whatever.
Wait a minute. She's the grandmother. She's not.
Oh, sorry. Never mind.
Yeah, it's like that doesn't work.
I'm getting confused. which is which?
No, I'm just saying the only one that makes sense is Faye. And I think that that's going to come out when Faye starts trying to use powers on her own.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't... Because the other woman... I call her Hispanic, and then I just remember we show her cousin. Her cousin was black.
Right.
So she's actually not Hispanic.
Is she supposed to be black?
I guess so.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wait, that's...
I thought she was Hispanic.
Would it kill them to put a brother or sister on this show?
Apparently.
Seriously. Yes, it's a CW show, but...
Apparently.
Throw some color in that circle.
All right, so it's getting good. I mean, they basically have her doing something really, really powerful, and she talks about how she really liked the power. And I was like, okay, she's going down that dark road.
I'll be interested to see what the repercussions are of Granny trying to kill Cassie. If Cassie's going to seek retribution.
Well, we don't know where she went, so it's not like she's going to go hunt her down. Like, I don't see her doing that.
Just really interesting. And obviously...
And the Gail Harold, and what's the...
Principal Mom.
Principal Mom is out of her mind. Who
She's
goes
freaking
up to,
evil.
Who goes up to somebody and is like, you know what? We're going to have to kill your mother. Like, just casually.
She's not the best strategist.
I was like, casually talks to him about killing his mother and is surprised that he's objected to.
And then just shows up and
at
pours
dinner,
wine.
And he's like, it's poison. And she goes, you got rid of a perfectly good bottle of wine. He's like, no, I didn't. I don't trust you. And she doesn't understand why he doesn't want to kill his mother. And I'm like... What is wrong with you that you don't get that?
Just because you don't mind offing your folks.
Yeah, it's like, really? So, yeah, she's got problems. I think Gail has to kill her.
Oh, well, I think he's going to turn on her.
Oh, he's already kind of turned on her. He's already realized. He's not
giving her that rock back.
Every time she asks, he's like, nope.
He's like, hell to the no.
He's like, I got it, get your own.
I think she's going to try to take it by force first.
Oh, I know. And he knows that too. Anyway, so Secret Circle's pretty good. I have to say, I'm not as enthusiastic about it as I am about Vampire Diaries.
Nah.
But it's entertaining.
Definitely.
Watch The Mentalist. All right. Next up, let's talk about Supernatural. Yay. Okay, go first, Allison.
I did see that.
Yay.
You can speak. Come on, bring it back. What'd you think?
I thought it was a good episode, a solid episode. You know, it's that they came back from hiatus, so they needed something strong. And I think they needed to also address the events of the last episode that they had, which I thought they did a good job of.
Wow.
You know, since they just offed a major character. And I think that they did a good job of addressing, you know, having killed off Bobby and how that is impacting on both the brothers. So and also starting to lay the groundwork of maybe Bobby isn't quite as gone as he seems to be.
What? How do you see that?
The bit with the beer. When they were walking around the cabin and Dean says, you know, well, you know, why'd you drink my beer? And he says, I didn't. My beer's right here. I didn't touch yours. And Dean's beer is completely missing. And there's no explanation for that except that, you know, maybe ghostly intervention, something happened.
I think
that's Bobby trying to make his presence known.
Oh, interesting.
I thought that I had missed something. Like, I looked down and I looked back up and the beer was gone. And I was like, did I blink and miss? I really didn't get that.
I think that whole interchange between Sam and Dean was supposed to indicate that's Bobby trying to break through so he can communicate between the two of them.
Huh. Well, on a show named Supernatural, you know, ghosts are fair game.
Yeah. The other thing I thought was, because they had two storylines, really, that was the whole, so Dean goes off on his own to figure out what the heck is going on with the numbers, and then Sam goes off to help this girl who's a friend of Bobby. So he feels the need to fulfill Bobby's obligations. Mm-hmm. And I like it was like the first week, they just sat and stared at each other. Like, yeah. That was it.
Week one.
Week one. They just sat and stared. Week two, they kind of went through the motions of doing work. And I think like week three, they were actually working, but obsessively.
So, just to keep their minds off it more than anything else, really. And they were getting into revenge mode, really. It's right. Like, you know, the process of grieving for a hunter.
Yeah.
You know? So, first is staring, then is, you know, wandering around drinking, and then revenge. The A story and the B story, and both of them related back to the process of dealing with Bobby being gone.
Right.
And so I felt that that was just really strong, how, you know, they didn't have just one featuring that detail. They both tied into that. And I love the character, too, of Bobby's old friend, if you want to call him that, associate, you know, his conspiracy-minded old pal. He's a great character. I'm blanking on the name of the character now, the one with the glasses who's
younger.
But he's a phenomenal character. I love him, and I hope he's going to be around for a while now.
Well, I liked how when Dean started saying, you know, I lost somebody I care about, blah, 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 he's just going on and on. And he goes, really? And then he tells his story, and Dean's got nothing to say.
Yeah. Like,
that was all pretty good.
Top that.
Yeah. So that all brings it down. And he's like, he tells Dean, he's like, you either smile and do your work professionally, or you get out. And so then you see the last shot is like Dean trying to smile. Like, he's going through like a three or four different iterations of smile attempts. So that was actually, it was good and it was bad, because he was like, just fake it, is basically what the guy's advice was. He's just like, just fake it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's the best he can do at this stage. I mean, what else is he going to do? That's how he gets through it. And that's what he's basically telling him to do is you fake it just to pull yourself through. That's how you get through living. Yeah. Is to just function.
Yeah, he's like, and 1 week at a time.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's... Otherwise you curl up in a corner and you die. And that's his means of telling him to just pull it up and suck it up and go through and live. And that's actually, you know, the best advice that he could get at that time, because otherwise he was just going to crawl into himself.
Right. He was going to self-destruct, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that was really good advice. And I have no idea what Roman is building in that spot of land, but apparently Bobby thought it was important.
Yeah.
I like the fact that as much as we thought that Bobby got the message through at the end, and he thought that he got the message through at the end, he totally forgot a number. Like, I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah. So I liked how he figured out how to do that by, you know, figuring out a program that would fill in something and just keep working until it came up with something intelligible, give him something that he could work with.
Right.
So that was nice.
What'd you think?
I thought it was a good episode. I liked the girl. I liked the...
Oh, yeah, the girl. Where have I seen her before?
I don't know, but I just...
She looked vaguely familiar.
I can't figure out where I've seen her before.
I just like that basically it's like a mini female Dean. giving him guff. And did you notice what the title of the episode was?
Yeah, Adventures of Babysitting. I think she turned out really... And basically they showed she has what it takes to be a hunter. But they basically were like, she shouldn't be. You know,
She needs to be a teenage girl.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a life. Right. But props to her, because, you know, trying to find good kid actors is tough to do. And she really pulled it out.
Yeah, she nailed it. Mm-hmm. So, thumbs up. And next week's episode looks like
a flashback 40s episode.
Oh, cheesy. But I've learned that Supernatural can surprise me. So I'm not going to be like, oh, it's going to suck. I'm going to wait and see it, and then I'll know whether it's... Because when they do those genre episodes, they're either really good or really bad. Like, they don't do in between.
It should be.
And you notice who played Elliot... He was going to play Elliot Ness from that episode.
No, I didn't see that.
Rat Boy from X-Files.
It's, oh, right.
Nicholas Lay.
Yeah, I like him.
He's a good...
All right, so I think that's all we have for this week. And I appreciate all the feedback, and I'd like you guys, if you're listening out there, to take a few minutes, go to iTunes, and give us a rating. Because the more ratings we get on our iTunes account, the more listeners we're going to get, and the longer we can stay on. So I really appreciate it if you guys take 5 seconds to go do that.
Well, so, can I have just one shout-out before we end? There's... The second season of Downton Abbey is starting tonight on PBS, so I hope we can talk about that next week, too, because it's great.
All right. And if you have any feedback, remember to send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And you can listen to us on getthepointradio.com and kryptonradio.com. Talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.